You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty.
As expected, Green Party presidential candidate Jill Stein today asked for a recount of the votes in Michigan. The process could start Friday. There is so much at stake in a recount, so much to be done correctly. And with the Electoral College vote looming, the clock is certainly ticking. Someone who knows what it's all like is Melvin Butch Hollowell, currently the Corporation Counsel for the City of Detroit. He's worked on many, many crucial recounts, including the Bush-Gore recount in Florida in 2000, the 2005 recount of the Detroit mayoral election between Kwame Kilpatrick and Freeman Hendricks, the 2013 recount involving Detroit Mayor Mike Duggan, and more. Butch Hollowell, welcome.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
So here we are talking about the mission, Butch, recounting some 4.8 million votes in Michigan, getting it done in less than 2 weeks by December 13th. What's the key?
All hands on deck. And it's got to be a very efficiently run process because, you know, you've got 83 counties and, as you indicated, 4.8 million votes. And this process, you know, once they pay the fee of the $125 per precinct, it's on. This is overseen by the Board of Canvassers. What will happen is, as a practical matter, there'll be in cities across the state an area, a room that is picked for the purposes of the recount. In the city of Detroit, you know, it could be in the state of Michigan building, or it could be in other offices. But just imagine a really big room. There could be as many as 50 to 75 tables in that room. Those tables are staffed by 2 to 3 members of the local county board of canvassers, and they take out from the county files what's called ballot containers. So if you can imagine these big blue boxes that are rectangular shaped but kind of deep, they have a latch on them. And in that latch, there's a metal wire that's threaded through it, and it's affixed with a metal seal and a number on that seal. So to get started, what they will do is they'll call out, you know, precinct, you know, 1, 2, 3. All of the attorneys and representatives from the various candidates are kind of at a like a rugby scrum, and their necks are craning, and they'll all have their pen and paper, and they'll say, okay, precinct 1, 2, 3, and then they'll look to see that the seal was not broken. If the seal is broken, then it's called a non-recountable precinct, meaning, something happened maybe, and if that's the case, then you default to what the original count was in that precinct. So they're not going to recount.
So whatever it was, that stands.
That stands. Let's say it is intact, then they take these kind of wire cutters, they cut it, pull it out, and then they'll open up the case, and then there's a number inside the ballot container which should correspond to the metal seal, and they'll say, okay, precinct 1, 2, 3. But again, what if it's 1, 2, 4? And if that's the case, then it's also a non-recountable precinct. Now, it happens sometimes. You have to be aware of that. Someone will announce from the Board of Canvassers that that's not a recountable box, and they'll go to the next one.
We are not recounting the ones if the seal is broken or something is awry between the identification.
Correct. The second step is then to take that box, if it is recountable, or that ballot container, and wheel it over to a table. And at that table, you'll have representatives of the various campaigns that are either standing or sitting there. I think they prefer that you sit, but you could stand. And what some like to do is to have color identification. So let's say that an individual is overseeing that whole room but wants to know who's on his or her team. So they'll have maybe like a blue badge on, or a yellow badge, or a red badge, or what have you. And then they will take those ballots out, they'll put them on the table, and then they will show an individual what that ballot is. So they'll pass it slowly in front of your eyes. And so you've got your clipboard, and you know, for example, how many votes you should have gotten at that precinct. Now, what are you looking for? Let's say that you have an optic scan system, which is the oval. You know, fill in the oval.
Yeah.
The Secretary of State Bureau of Elections has kind of a cheat sheet that you can use in determining as to whether or not this is a valid vote or not. So what most people do correctly is at the polls, they'll fill in the oval, and that's that. You'll tear off your stub and put it in your secrecy sleeve and then feed it into the reader, and you're all done. But as they look at these ballots at the tables, what if the individual has put yes next to the oval instead of filling in the oval. You see that. Or what if they take their pen and they circle around the circle? You see that sometimes. Or if there's a check mark next to it or an X next to it, that happens all the time. Those are typically not accepted as votes. But if it is in what the Secretary of State's office called a predetermined area, that is the area within the oval, such as a check mark or an X, or if they wrote in the words yes, they generally will take that vote.
So you're looking for a pattern that looks like, look, this was a sincere effort by the voter to make a mark for that candidate.
Correct. And Michigan is what is called a voter intent state. So we try to ascertain what is the intention of the voter. Did they try to cast a ballot for that individual? And if it looks like they did, then they'd like to count those votes. Now, the other candidate might challenge that and say, well, wait a minute. You know, there's a stray mark over here. And it could have been just because somebody dragged their pen on the ballot or it was near and they said, no, they really changed their mind. So I'm going to challenge that ballot. So they'll mark those ballots all across the room. If you can imagine, all this is going on all at the same time.
Wow.
They'll keep them in a stack, and the workers for the campaigns will keep track of that, and later they'll give it to the individual who's the attorney advising them and say, this is what I saw, and are we going to challenge this one or not? If you decide to challenge, then the Board of Canvassers sets aside a specific time in which they hear those challenges. So you say, look, you know, on this particular ballot, it was only halfway filled in, so we think that it's not a valid vote. And the other says, come on, you can tell that that person was really trying to vote for the individual.
So, Butch, could the opposition, like, run out the clock by objecting to every ballot, knowing that the clock is ticking? And in this case, it has to be done by December 13th. So could we see that happening here?
Well, you know, you'll know early on, right? I mean, you'll know fairly early on in this recount as to whether or not that is a strategy. If you see a lot of challenges being made, then you'll know, okay, then, you know, this is going to take a lot more time than people had thought. You know, you want to make sure, because all the case law in Michigan, Michigan Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court, federal courts have rulings that our vote is our most precious right. And so you want to make sure that you are counting all of the votes. You don't want to disenfranchise anyone, so you have to take each one of these very seriously. The other thing is, you know, rule of thumb is never touch a ballot if you're not an election worker. That is a violation of the Michigan election law. They will also start with the 19 largest counties, and they'll work to the smallest. If I'm also in the room, I'm looking for patterns.
What kind of patterns?
Patterns will develop. Let's say if I know that the precincts in the northwest side of the city are generally the highest precincts, but we got a lower turnout in the election than we had anticipated, and we're starting to see that, in fact, you're getting more votes in that area than what you had recorded on your sheet, then you think, well, there could have been a machine breakdown at one particular time, and they did manual counts, and maybe those manual counts didn't get recorded, or there could have been some other kind of machine error, or what have you. And so you'll say, all right, well, so this should be a high-performance voting area, meaning an area where traditionally in presidential elections or gubernatorial elections for statewide office, you have a very high traditional turnout in some areas. So you'll look for those patterns, and they'll develop. I can tell you after a day and a half, you'll be able to tell what's going to happen with the recount.
You've got that feeling.
Yes, you know, because after a day or so, it's like a snapshot audit of what the final count is going to be. Generally, you can tell, all right, this candidate is gaining votes, this candidate is losing votes, or it looks like the vote total is staying pretty steady. You can tell that, I think, fairly early on.
Butch Hollowell, I have to ask you, I know you worked on the recount in Miami-Dade in 2000, and we saw in that case the Supreme Court stepped in at the deadline for the Electoral College and put a stop to the recount. So knowing that we've got this deadline of December 13th, could we see that happen this time?
Yeah, I still bear the scars from that. We did, you know, the Florida Supreme Court wanted a recount to continue, but in Bush v. Gore, on a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court said, no, the counting should stop. Is it possible for the courts to intervene? Of course. And whether the case is filed in either the state courts or the federal courts, that always is an option. Now, in Bush v. Gore, the Supreme Court specifically said, okay, this just applies to this case and you can't use it for any other case, but that's kind of like, don't look at the man standing behind the curtain. It's like, you know, lawyers do use that case and have done so since the 2000 election.
Butch, since you're a veteran of the trenches of so many of these recounts, what is your feeling the chances we'll see a fully completed recount in this state by December 13th?
That is all going to depend upon whether or not you see early on a lot of challenges or whether or not the candidates are just letting the ballots be counted and are living with the results. So it all depends on whether there's a lot of challenges or not.
And what happens if we don't?
If you don't, it's possible they can get done in time. And then they would just go ahead and certify the election and it would be over.
Butch Hollowell, veteran of some very high-profile election recounts and currently the Corporation Counsel for the City of Detroit. Butch, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure.